in Jesus' name. That's a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
Before we actually get into our lesson, I would like for everyone to turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. And let's start with verse 7. Sister Rolanda talked about the fact that we're receiving the word of God, and that is and receiving the word of God is causing us to put on and keep on our biblical scriptural glasses, right? Lenses. So that when we look through those lenses, we can interpret what's happening in the word of God. We can really see. She mentioned something about we know what's really happening behind the scenes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because the word of God makes us wise.
Amen.
So I want to kind of open up before we get into our teaching to just go over that from the word of God. Psalm 27. And let's look at verse 7. Psalm 19, I'm sorry. You know what? When I get real crazy, I need a lot more prayer because I'm really gone this morning with just much joy and thanksgiving for what the Lord has done and is doing.
Amen.
Really am. Because there are many who have no hope. Amen. These songs talk about hope. My hope will always be Amen. In your promises.
Amen.
That's the word. My hope is not in this life. Our hope is not in this life. It is not in the rewards of this world that are fleeting and passing. It's not in that. Our hope is in a life that will never end. It's an eternal life. Our hope is in Jesus. He's the risen King.
Amen.
He is the ascended Lord.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
That's where our hope is.
Amen.
We have it, but we don't realize how blessed we are. Listen to these people taking their lives. Anthony Bourdain, I think I'm saying his name right. That guy was world renowned. Status, fame, fortune. And took his life. Ernest Hemingway. Ernest Hemingway was well-renowned, tremendous, gifted writer. We are blessed
yes, we are.
To know and understand that beyond this life, there's eternal life.
Hallelujah.
What the Lord is speaking through, sister, is don't take that for granted. Don't take it lightly. Don't let this world distract you from those great, tremendous truths that God has bless us with. Please don't do that. And as the Lord, through her rightfully dwelt on being grateful and thankful and just deeply grateful for the word of God, that's right. Because that's how we know how to order our thinking.
Amen.
Look at Psalm 27, Psalm 17, Psalm. I said, this helped me. April, you own it. You own it. She said, 19. That's right, April. That's right. I'm way gone. Papa, I'm number one on the prayer list. I'm number one. I'm gone. We're going to try to take it back. Just to keep helping me. Man, amen, amen, amen. God is moving. Psalm, not a confused mother. Mother, Psalm 19, verse 7. Yeah, yeah, I done messed my mother up. Lord have mercy. That's kind of bad in the Papa. You good, Chris? She straight? Mom straight? Okay, all right. I got to help from the front and the back. Thank you. I need help, man. Glory be to God. Okay, so Psalm chapter 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect.
Amen.
Restoring, and I like how the Amplified says, the whole person. Spirit, soul, and body. The law of the Lord is perfect. Look at this. Restoring the whole person. You know what the old saints used to say? He's a mind regulator.
Amen.
Remember that back in the day?
Amen.
Yeah, he restores the whole person.
Amen.
Spirit, soul, and body.
Yes.
He regulates your mind.
Thank you, Lord.
Regulates your emotions.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's your physical body.
Yes.
Touches that soul and lives in your spirit.
Amen.
Hold on now. What's doing all of that? The law of the Lord. What is that? The word of God. Let me just hold it up in case you didn't know.
Amen.
The word of God. When she said, thank you for the word of God, boy, don't, we got a lot to be thankful for. And then she mentioned, she didn't mention millions, but there are millions in churches who are going and they're not getting the word of God, or they're getting the light, L-I-T-E version of it. The watered down, run down version.
Amen.
And they're usurping and undermining the power of God that's inherent in his word. The power is not, they're not in people. The power is not in fame and publicity. The power is not in how well the bishop is known.
Amen.
Or the titles he carries. Or how big the ministry is worldwide. Television ministry, print book and ministry.
Amen.
It's not in that. Don't put the power into people, please.
Amen. Amen.
People aren't the power. The power is in the word of God. Yeah. You don't believe that? As you say, back in the day, keep a marker there. And turn over to Romans 1:16. So put your finger there and turn over to Romans 1:16. I want to show you where the power is. I know you know this. This is ice to Eskimos. But I believe in stating the obvious over and over and over again, ad nauseum, ad infinitum. I believe in that. That's what teachers do. That's what good teachers do. That's why my mother was a good teacher, and I copied her style of teaching, was to go over and over and over.
Yeah.
And one of the greatest compliments I got from my students was, you teach us like we are, they didn't know not to use the frame, but it teaches like we're returning. He said, you teach like we're returning. That was a great compliment, because I go over and over and over. Okay, we get it. Yeah, but I want to be sure. That was a great compliment. Because the worst teachers for me were the ones who assume you got it, just fly through the thing, and I ain't got it. Psalm 116. Romans 1:16. Thank you. You know, I'm gone for real. I'm not doing this on purpose either. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. You see that?
Amen.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. I'm not ashamed of what? The gospel. The what? The gospel. The what? Gospel. What is that? The word of God. I'm not ashamed. Do you know, my Christian brothers and sisters, there are those who are ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
Paul said, I'm not ashamed. We won't get into all the background that caused him to say this. But he is declaring by the Holy Spirit, I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
You speak the word of God. Like I was telling somebody, I might have been telling Miss Nicole, you don't have to know chapter and verse. I've been telling you all that for years. But if you come with the concepts, the gist of what the word is saying, the power of God is in your statements.
Amen. Amen.
The power of God is present when you speak.
Amen.
I mean, I know that it's Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed. But you say, you know, man, that this God, this Bible right here, this is my dude.
Amen.
You know, this is where the power at. Cuz, you feel me? Right there, you just did Romans 16. You just urbanized. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
You feel what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm not ashamed of this. So he goes on to say, for as much that I'm not ashamed of the gospel, verse 16 of Christ, gospel rather, of Christ in King James it says of Christ, but that's in italics, so that's not in the original. So I'm just not ashamed of the gospel, period. Of course it is the good news about Jesus Christ, so that's okay. For it, what is the it? The gospel. Is the power of God. To me, once you see that, you should be, I'm good.
Amen.
This is the power of God.
Amen. Amen.
People always want to go somewhere and see somebody get healed, step out of wheelchairs, dead, raised, want to see all those things, and then we'll declare that's the power of God. God is saying, this is my power.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Just let that marinate for a moment. Let's say la. Pause and calmly think about this. This is the power of God.
Yeah.
Not just any kind of power.
Amen.
It's God's personal power. Lord, help us to get this.
Amen. Amen.
Remember what brought us here was people aren't the power. The status of that person isn't the power. The breadth of their ministry isn't the power. It's God, it's the gospel that's the power of God. The power rests in God, not in people.
Amen. Amen.
And to me, preachers, enough, not enough of them, discourage worship and exaltation. They don't discourage it enough. Not enough preachers. They relish in it, they embellish it, and they misuse it.
Amen.
Sounds a lot like the Pharisees who took their authority and abused it. Well, you should hear Vodi Bakum's scathing rebuke of the black minister that you know they use the title Reverend. And lord it over the folks. Not living right, not doing right, but that title gives them a certain amount of status and so forth in the community. It's not in a title, word of life. It's not in the person. It's not in their status. None of that is in there. Don't ever transfer your hope to a person.
Amen. Amen.
The power, we just read it, is in the gospel, and that's the power of God.
Amen.
Now, understanding that, let's go back to Psalm 19, verse 7. So what's the power? The gospel, the word of God. Now, go back to Psalm 19. I said it right twice. I'm on a roll. The law of the Lord, which is the word of God, is perfect. Sure, because it's God's word.
Amen.
Restoring the whole person.
Yes,
why? Because it's God's word. Only God's word can reach into the heart of a person, discern it, fix it, heal it, and present that person whole before a watching world.
Amen.
Feel like shouting.
Thank you, Lord.
Better watch yourself.
Thank you, Lord.
Only God can do that.
Amen.
Only God can reach into the heart, the broken heart of a mother who's lost a child.
Yes, 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 yes.
And over time, heal that mother's heart.
Amen.
The only word of God can do that. Not antidepressants, not psychotic drugs, not drinking, not sexing, not buying money, not eating. All the things that we do to try to deal with or to numb ourselves, to try to get us away from the pain. Only the word of God can fix that.
Amen.
It restores the whole person. Remember, turn over to Psalm 23. I know you know this, but turn over to Psalm 23 right quick. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know it. You know it. I know you know it. Look at Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Remember shepherd, three things. He feeds you, he guides you, and he shields you, protects you. And I keep saying that all the time because that verse has been so funeralized that we don't really even understand what the word shepherd really, really means. When he's your shepherd, he's your protector. He's your provider. He's your guide.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's a powerful statement. And the pronoun, he's my shepherd. That's powerful. I shall not lack. And remember, the lack is for proper care from that shepherd. You'll never lack for proper care from the Lord, who is your shepherd, protector, provider, and guide. He will always care for you properly. Not like the lack of love we're seeing, as 1 Timothy 3 talks about. There's going to be a lack of natural love. Familial love is going to wane, and we're seeing that.
Amen.
Parents abandoning children, children abandoning parents, parents killing children killing parents.
Yeah.
They're lacking for proper care. Well, this shepherd will never do that.
Thank you.
So not only is he with you always, not only will he never leave you nor forsake you, he's going to, while he's with you, he's going to always care for you properly.
Yes.
I shall not lack. Makes you lie down in green pastures, fresh, tender green pastures.
Hey.
Leads you beside still waters, still and restful, peaceful water. He refreshes and restores my soul, my life, nephesh in the Greek. That's what I wanted to get you to. He refreshes and restores my soul. The Hebrew word for that is nephesh, my life, my soul. He refreshes and restores. How many need a recharge from time to time?
Amen.
Let every hand went up real quick.
Amen.
Well, thank God he can do that.
Amen.
That's why the Lord commanded me to take a vacation. And more than one, actually. Commanded, because I didn't. Probably, so we're going into our 19th year at Word of Life. Word of Life has been in Zix for 19 years. And probably for the first, I don't know, 10 years or so, maybe didn't really take one. But he started commanding me to do so. There's a refreshment. We're human. We have physical bodies. Mm-hmm. We have physical minds and emotions and mental situations. All that need recharging.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
And one of the ways he does that is through a refreshing, through just a vacation. And I thank God for you all understanding that and blessing me to go freely.
Yes.
And enjoy myself while I'm gone. I thank you for that, too.
Amen.
Because I do get recharged and come back. Ready to teach the gospel. So he refreshes and restores our soul, our life, and leads us in the path of righteousness. Okay, we can go back. I just wanted to just, again, if you look at Psalm verse 19 and look at verse 7, he restores the whole person. He restores and refreshes. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And I will, in the Greek, I will ease and relieve and refresh your soul.
Amen.
The refreshing and easing and relieving and peaceful and peacefulness and things of that nature, they're found in the Word of God. Not in the bottle, not in the pill, not in him, not in her, not in it.
Yeah.
But in the Word of God. Let's keep reading verse 7 of Psalm 19. The testimony of the Lord is sure. And here's the part I want to get to, making wise the simple. First of all, when you see the word testimony, that's another word for the Word of God. The law of the Lord is one name, one label for the Word of God. Testimony is another for the Word of God. It says of the Lord is sure. Firm, sure, concrete, steadfast, immovable, eternal, everlasting Word of God.
Thank you.
Keep a marker there again. Look at Psalm 119. Verse, I think it's 81. Psalm 119, verse 89. Sometimes, O Lord, 95% of the time, O Lord, 99.9% is forever. O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. It's settled. It's done. It's over with. I love how the Amplified adds, stands firm as the heavens. It's a done deal, word of life. When you're talking about the word of God, you're talking about something that is eternal, that is supernatural. That is a live, living thing. So when he says, go back to Psalm 19, when he says in Psalm 19, verse 7, the testimony of the Lord is sure, firm, fixed, settled, that's what he's talking about. That's the same word that is settled in the heavens.
Amen.
Then what does it do? Not only does it restore the whole person, but it makes wise the simple.
Amen.
We see things that folks with PhDs don't see. We see things that folks who are supposed, who are counted as geniuses don't see. Because they don't have the lens of scripture sitting on their eyes, sitting over their eyes like we do. Amen. And we see beyond the obvious.
Amen.
What's wrong with the world? Sin. We know that. Well, that's what the world doesn't know and understand. And that's why they're putting their hope in politics, putting their hope in other folks like that, putting their hope in a better economic situation, putting their hope in all these other things, thinking that that's what's going to get this, turn this thing around. I was talking to a friend of mine on Friday. Hadn't talked to him in some years and had a real good conversation there at the restaurant there. And he said, man, this world is talking about the racial situation. He said, man, it's not going to ever change. I said, you're 100% right. He said, unless this thing is destroyed and starting over. I said, that's exactly what's going to happen. I don't know if he caught it or not. He spoke much truth. I said, that's exactly what's going to happen. That's exactly what's going to happen. Because in his current state, it's not going to change. And he's talking about, there's a white guy that believes that the mass shootings in the schools are all staged, that they're fake. Just so we can, so that the guns can, so the people who want guns out of the, these are the people who want the guns, I forgot what they call them, gun right activists. They're believing that it's fake so they can get the guns out of their hands. I mean, when you think like that, you got some deep issues.
Amen.
Just concluded, this thing is, it's not going to change. You're right. Because it's sin. And until the wrath of God comes down here and clean all this mess up, what's going to happen in Revelation, it's going to stay like this.
Amen.
But we as Christians don't lose hope because the hope is not in that.
Amen.
You follow what I just said? It's not in that. It's in God.
Amen.
And what we need to do is stay focused, and Sister Orlando prayed over us, that we stay focused and, Lord, where do you want me to go?
Amen.
Who do you want me to help?
Amen.
It's not about changing the world. You're not going to change the world.
Amen.
It's about just stepping over to that one person. You may not never, nobody may never know. You may even never know what's going to happen. Sometimes you do know, like Sister Orlando sat on the curb with that young man who was on crack cocaine and sat down on the curb with him and spoke with him. And that act of kindness, the Lord used it to blast his heart and soul right up out of that drug use and propelled him right into the pulpit.
Amen.
To ministry.
Amen.
where he's pastoring today. Sometimes you get to find out the result of God using you. Other times you don't. Don't look for the results.
Amen.
When we talked about that a couple weeks ago, because don't be results oriented. Because if that's the case, then Jeremiah was a colossal failure. Because nobody got saved under his ministry. You hear me say that quite a bit. Just go back. Are we there at Psalm 19? Making wise the simple. I'm gonna keep it right there. Then we're gonna just go into our teaching, because that's a perfect segue into our teaching on aliens. So let's now flip over to aliens. Again, the title of this series is Achieving an Alien Mentality. Very briefly, very quickly. An alien, again, in the Greek means alongside the house. We as Christians are not in the house, and the house represents the world with all its secularistic, humanistic views in living and thinking and way of doing. And to live alongside the house but not be in the house is where Christians are. And therefore, we're alien and foreign to those that are in the house. Our way of thinking, speaking, and doing is foreign, alien to those that are in the house. And so we are viewed as exiles, refugees, sojourners, aliens. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims. This is not our home. And to be honest with you, if you taught properly and understand the Word of God, who would want to make this their home anyway? My Lord and my God, I want no part of this, period. But to understand, and I love the words of the Apostle Paul, that is a sobering verse for me, and that is, for me to live is Christ.
Amen.
We're here for Him. Amen. We're here to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to be at His every beck and call.
Amen.
Not here for us. People say, I'm going to get mine. Yep, you get yours when you leave up out of here. You are going to get yours.
Amen.
Don't try to get yours while you're down here interrupting with Jesus' plans for your life.
Amen.
For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So that's alien thinking outside the house. Because in the house, thinking is, I'm going to get mine. It's all about me. So we talked, but now, said all that. We started reviewing last week about how are aliens to think. How are we to think? And we spoke about, because we are instructed by God's word, we're taught and controlled and live by God's word, our way of thinking is going to be completely foreign and different and alien than the world. It's going to be contradictory to their way of thinking. And we ought to expect that. So how are we to think? We're to think as God thinks. Remember that from last week. We're to think as Jesus thinks. Why? Because we have, as a present possession, the mind of Christ. We have the mind and the attitude of Christ. Look at, we went over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We talked about verse 14, that the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness and he cannot understand them. Verse 16, though, who has known the mind of the Lord, that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Therefore, we're able to think like the Lord Jesus Christ. That is really profound. We really do not value that. We don't really understand it. Father God, help us to get there. That's a phenomenal, crazy, wonderful statement that we have your mind.
Amen.
Help us to value it, understand it, and walk in it more fully in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And reading that segue from Psalm 19, verse 7, he says, the testimonies of the Lord are sure, making the wise simple. Why? Because we don't have the wisdom of this world. Remember, while you're turning there to Philippians chapter 2, remember we talked about that we do not speak the wisdom among those. We do not speak the wisdom of this age. Remember that? Yeah. Nor the rulers of this age. Yeah. But we speak God's wisdom. That's where that is. The testimonies of the Lord, the word of God, is sure, and it makes the wise simple, making the simple wise, rather, because the word of God has all the wisdom that anyone could ever use or have or need. And when we get into the word of God and let it dictate how we think in particular, which will influence how we speak and do, because thinking precedes action. Think of that. Thinking precedes action. Talk about that many, many times. You don't act except you first think about it.
Amen.
So since that's the case, once the word of God then becomes our go-to thinking-wise, then it's going to make us very wise. And it's going to make us seem foreign because the outside the house folks think like God, like Jesus, and the inside the house folks think like their father, the devil.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Remember, we have the mind of Christ. And now we have his attitude. He said, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in what? Christ Jesus. And he goes on to talk about his humility. Wait a minute. Have this attitude. What is that? A command. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, she got a duty, verse 5. Have this attitude. That's a command. Have it. Wait a minute. If God commands it, is it possible then to do it?
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Because God does not command his people to do anything that they cannot do. That's beyond their realm of obeying it or performing that command. Do you understand that? Why? Because we've been given the Holy Spirit who empowers us to be able, who empowers and enables and gives us the capacity to complete that command. Just slow this down. Just listen. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Say loud that for a moment. You mean I can have the same attitude that Jesus has? Yes. Or has he even told you that you can have it?
Amen.
Well, why do I act so crazy? Because you're choosing to. Remember the example? God has given us the hammer and the nails and the wood. You take the nail and you put it into the wood like this to hold it, and you take your fist and try to beat the nail into the wood. And you wonder, why I got stitches all in my hand, it's all tore up, I'm bleeding all over the place. What is going on? Dude, you didn't take the hammer. He left you the hammer. That's us a lot of times. We're not using the power that's at our disposal. We're not using the advice, the counsel, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We're not letting him help us. All too often, we think we know best. All too often, we think we got a better plan. Amen. It's called the Ford anointing. We tell the Lord, I have a better idea. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church. It's quiet in this Sister Orlando. We have a better idea. And you know what? The Lord got to be shaking his head. Like, are you kidding me? You think you got a better idea than me? You know, we tell the Lord things like, Lord, that's crazy. That don't make sense. Why would I go over there and talk? I ain't never spoke to that person in 25 years. Don't figure God out. Because you'll never do it, number one. And number two, you'll get a migraine. Which is what you'll deservedly need for trying to figure God out. You're trying to do the impossible. God says go, you go. God says stop, you stop. It doesn't have to make sense. Just know that it's God. Focus on that. A lot of times we get thrown about trying to make sense of it instead of saying, Lord, is it you or not? If it's you, I don't care what else is happening. I'm obeying. Listen to that. That's a nugget.
Amen.
That's a nugget. Sometimes we don't obey God because we're trying to figure it out and make sense of it. Let me say this nice and slow. What we need to do, because he's trying to make sense of it and figure it out, that's a smokescreen by Satan, possibly, trying to get you not to obey God. Because the longer you can figure it out, and because it doesn't make sense, you end up not doing it. And this is a word for somebody. You end up not doing it. The Lord is saying, don't try to figure it out. Don't try to make sense of it. There's only one thing you need to establish within yourself. Is it me giving you this directive or not?
Amen.
Keep it simple. Keep the main thing the main thing. That has helped me out in tremendously in big decisions. Just, is it God telling me this or not? If it's God, all the rest of the stuff I'm trying to make sense of is on him. He'll take care of that. Does that make sense, Word of Life?
Amen.
Yeah, you just lock in on, is the Lord telling me this? And once you answer that, then there it is. You go. Or stay. Or stop. Whatever he's telling you to do. Don't worry about making sense of it. It may never make sense. You gotta have this attitude. The attitude here in the Greek means to have understanding. Have this attitude. Have this understanding in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now that's beautiful. Or, attitude means to be wise. So, have this wisdom in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. Attitude also means to feel and to think. So, have these feelings and thinkings in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. It also means to direct one mind to a thing. To direct your mind to a thing. What do you think Jesus directed his mind to all the time? God's word. God's commands. So, direct your mind toward the word of God in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, which Jesus also did. And attitude also means to seek or to strive for. What do you think Jesus seeked and strove for? The wisdom and knowledge and purpose of God. Amen. Do that in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus. So again, attitude means to have understanding, to be wise, to feel, to think, to direct one's mind to a thing, to seek or to strive, which all it is, Jesus. You're to do it just like Jesus did. Father God, help us to get it.
Amen.
That we can do this through your grace and mercy in Jesus' name. You can think, be wise, have this attitude, feel, be compassionate, just like Jesus. That means when you start feeling some type of way towards someone that maybe you're not too crazy about, and your compassion is starting to wane toward that person, the Holy Spirit will rise a little bit with you and counsel. Hey, that's not compassionate. That's not what Jesus would have done in that situation. You have the mind of Christ. He reminded you of the teaching. You have the mind of Christ. You have his attitude. You need to flip that. Now go and apologize. No, that's what we don't like. Jesus, I was with you all the way till you said, go and apologize. Ooh, that hurts. But go and apologize. Even though they wrong in two left shoes, but what you did in God's eye was wronger because you're the child of God and they are. And you have the power and the capacity and you've been enabled. I remember I had to apologize to a student. I'm the teacher. I don't apologize to no student. But I had to apologize to a student. I cannot even enjoy my lunch. This old rockhead student, I gotta go ahead and apologize to, because I'm trying to fight. I'm eating my lunch. Lunch tasting like bricks. Lunch don't go down well. I had to go apologize. So, right after lunch. Ate my lunch. When I decided, in my opinion, When you're struggling to do something that your flesh don't want to do, just keep talking to the Lord. Yeah. Let him go back. Let him keep ministering. Yeah. Talk to you again. Minister. Talk to you again. Like my mother. My mother, I remember she you know, I had to. My mother was a Renaissance woman. I keep telling y'all that. Degree from U of M in the 40s. You won't go to U of M in the 40s, you know. I mean, she's an independent woman. Mother and father dead by 18. She was your self-made woman. She's independent. She's been having business on her own by herself. She's been a quote-unquote orphan, if you will, since 18. I know how to negotiate life. I got a degree. I got life, I got money in the bank, I got sharp clothes on. I'm doing my thing. But she gets married to the southern gentleman. They get saved, and they have begin to have children. And the saved southern gentleman asked the saved Renaissance woman, stay home. Will you please stay home from work? Be a housewife and a mother. To a Renaissance woman, that's not going to, where's Jacob Michael Knox? That's not going to work out. And writing Nicole Knox, hello? That's not going to work out. So what she did was she got along with the Lord. You know, this isn't hard. You know the Lord is telling you, but your flesh is saying the other. Got to get along with it and talk it out. Talk it out. Talk it out. And if you open, Holy Spirit in you, eventually, because remember what's in you, you want to do God's will. You really do. It's your flesh that's fighting it. But at the core of your very being as a Christian, as a child of God, as a born again believer, as a person whose spirit has been resurrected supernaturally by the power of God, you want to do God's will. It's your flesh that's trying to keep you from it. And so as I'm eating these sandwiches or whatever that tastes like bricks, I'm talking to my father. He said, you provoked him. I still remember his name too. He said, you provoked him. You provoked him, and when you did, it pushed him to a space in his head that he came back at some harsh words at you. So, but you did that. It's your fault. Man, I'm a teacher. It wasn't that bad. But if God said it, you know better than us, honey. Amen. And once you submit, you can't do it fast enough. I'm not talking about to get rid of it because of joy. Because yes. There's a release in your spirit. Yes, or I'm preaching to somebody. There's just a release in your spirit. I can get to that school fast like I'll do some go out, leave, and go home for a few minutes and then come back. Went straight to the room, knocked on the door, asked for the student. I said, so-and-so? I said, Mr. Harris was out of order. I was out of line. I should not have said that to you. And by me saying that to you, you responded to me. He was stunned. But I was joyous inside because I knew I'd obey God. And I knew it was God because that's nothing I would have did. I wouldn't have thought twice about it. I'm like, I'm the teacher. I'm good. And he was a knucklehead, too, with a capital knuckle. He really, really was. So that's what made it hard at first. I see, even if it was out of order, he a knucklehead. He deserved it. No. Not when you're living for the King.
Amen.
Not when you're living for the King. And if the King truly has rule and reign over your life, then when the King says, nope, that wasn't, that's not how that should have came out. Not out of you. Remember, our standard is higher than the world's. Yes. We must obey God. Yes. And I'm telling you, when compassion leaves because of your flesh, when you're no longer thinking as Christ thinks, when you're no longer understanding as Christ is understanding, if you're no longer using the wisdom that Jesus Christ has, if you're no longer feeling as he feels, thinking as he thinks, if you're no longer directing your mind toward the Word of God, if you're no longer seeking and striving for the purpose of God, the Holy Spirit is going to send that alarm off. He's going to set it off. Mm-hmm. It's out of order right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
You're out of order.
Yes, you do.
Maybe you joined a conversation you shouldn't have joined. Amen. Maybe you just cause more rottenness to the conversation rather than being the salt and preserving it so that it doesn't go corrupt any further. Amen. We have, as a present possession, the mind of Christ. We have the ability to have the attitude in ourselves just as Jesus has.
Amen.
An attitude of profound humility.
Amen.
God told Jesus, go on down in the earth. You'll lose your glory temporarily beside me. Not being here with me, you'll lose some things. You're going to maintain your full deity, of course. But he emptied himself of all of that and came down here and took on the form of a slave. Let's turn to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, as we get ready to close. Philippians 2. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Philippians chapter 2. We just read verse 5. To let this attitude be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. King James says it's kind of not robbery. It's kind of convoluted that way. But what he's saying is his position in verse 6, his position, even though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be held on to the point that I'm not going to go down there and die for these people and take on the form of a slave. He wore even his status of being equal with God in eternity past. He even wore that as a loose garment. That's profound word of life.
Amen.
We hold on to a coat. Or a pair of shoes, or status even, down here, which is nowhere near the status of being equal with God in eternity past. We hold on to that with the tightest grip we have. Hold on to our money, the tightest grip we have. When Jesus wore his status of being equal with God loosely. So he regarded it as a thing to be grasped. Did not regard it, rather, equality with God, a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. I think that's called the kenosis in the Greek. Taking the form of a bond servant. That's not the right word. It should be a slave, doulos. Took on the form of a slave. And being made in the likeness of men. He found himself, being found in the appearance of a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. That's the humility. That's the mind that we're supposed to have. That's the attitude that we're supposed to have of profound humility to obey God no matter what.
Amen.
That's thinking like an alien. Father God, help us to get this in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
This is profound.
Amen.
That's why all of these pauses, they may be dramatic pauses, but they're not for the purpose of being dramatic. It's for the purpose of Selah. Because this is a lot.
Yes, it is.
When you come in thinking one way, we've been so indoctrinated, so brainwashed by the world's way of thinking, a secular, humanistic way of thinking, we were taught without even knowing we were being taught.
Amen.
And by the time we came to the Word, we were 40 years in, 50 years in. Thank God the Word of God, thinking there's nothing too difficult for Him. He can go in there and wrench those rusted in nails and pull out those 2x4s and renovate our mind, our way of thinking. And put in his way of thinking. Thank God, nothing is too difficult for him, but it takes time.
Amen.
I mean, to understand that Jesus did not count his status. Being equal with God, a thing to be grasped and held onto and clutched to his bosom, like I ain't gonna ever give this up. He gave it up. He gave it up for God. Because God so loved the world. Remember we told you, technically speaking, actually speaking, Jesus died for God. Because God so loved us.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? He died for God. See, people are already put us up in there. No, you ain't up in there. We're byproducts. This is a love story between Jesus and God.
Hallelujah.
We're just a byproduct.
Amen.
And I tell you, Christians do not like that. Ooh, I would never get invited back. They said, don't ever invite that guy back. Why? Because that secular humanistic view that has crept into the church is now stomping up and down the aisles. It's no longer creeping. It's walking in the door big time. With the full George Jefferson walk. And those thoughts and those ideas are singing the same song. Yeah, we're moving on up. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
First they creep into the church. Then when the church allowed them in, the pastor began softening it up. Christianity light, L-I-T-E. Then they began to walk in the front door. Those ideas. Then they came in singing. Yeah, we're moving on up. Finally got a piece of the pie. And what's the pie? The word of God. Because I can get my thinking in there. I can water this up, make it convoluted, make it don't mean anything. That's scary. And it's sad. Because the power is in the word of God. And if you can water that down and dilute that, then there's no power. And he said, cool, I can just keep whipping the people up. I can go through their lives. I can tear up the whole church from the minister all the way back to the back row. Because there's nothing that can stop me. What stops the word? Jesus will tell you on Matthew 4, the word of God. It is written. Not once, not two, but three times. And after that third haymaker, the word of God says, and the devil leave. Then the devil leaveth him. He kept staying with the word. Stay with the word, saints. Stay with the word, saints. Father God, thank you for your word. It is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our pathway. Your word, we're taking the time, Father God, and the energy and the intentionality to store it up, treasure it, deposit it in our hearts. What? In abundance. That we may not sin against you. How can a young man, a young woman, a child of God keep their way pure? By protecting, fashioning, forming, and keeping it according to your word. Thank you, Father, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.